It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back, everybody. KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Curry and Scott Mitchell. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. And as we get into things here, I'm glad that there's an NFL team, that is within striking distance. The Broncos have always felt like they've been kind of close, but not really.
Well, they're over the mountain. That's a long way.
It's an 8-hour drive. I mean, like, yeah. The reality is that...
And if you've ever driven that...
It's a long
stretch
it's
of
a,
road. It can be very treacherous. Yes. I-70.
It's crazy because it's
Eisenhower
an hour flight.
Tunnel and bleh.
It's weird because it's an hour flight, but it's an 8-hour drive. Or it's a, down to Vegas, it's a 4.5-hour drive, and it's an hour and 15-minute flight. Yeah. In my mind, it's just interesting. But I'm going to embrace big time.
Well, you know, going to Las Vegas, it's downhill.
As soon as you come back, it's an 8-hour drive because you're just going up the hill.
You're going downhill to Vegas.
I like that reasoning there, Scott. You're like our geography master.
Just look on the globe.
Give me
it's
some
like
more.
We're going down. We're just going, falling off the earth down
you know
to the
what?
Equator.
That's a great topographical point you make there. Just go. All you're doing is just driving straight downhill.
Well, the earth is flat.
My goodness. We're hitting all the important parts here. In an era when the NFL is in a spot now where the Rooney Rule, which is the rule that... Well, explain the Rooney Rule, Scott, because for people who are listening to the show for the first time, or maybe not just for the first time, or haven't heard of the Rooney Rule, what is it?
The Rooney Rule is that a coach of minority status, which I believe pretty much is a black coach,
right,
has to be interviewed for every... head coaching vacancy in the NFL.
Right, so there needs to be...
A legitimate candidate has to be presented with an interview. Yeah.
And...
So they're being given an honest, legitimate look.
Right, and look, there are times
can,
when...
Can I,
for
I don't
a
like,
league,
I just don't like it.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I mean, the word that's going around now is, and everybody is saying the same thing is that it doesn't work. It feels like,
right.
and I think that these candidates for any of these jobs that you're brought in, if you are a coach of color and you're brought in, I'm trying to think, the most successful probably coach right now in the league who's African-American is Mike Tomlin. I mean, this is a guy with
right.
Super Bowls, and I mean, he's one
for
of the most
respected. For the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Rooney
Steelers.
Family.
And everybody, the respect that he has across the league, people, I mean, he's tremendous to watch.
And Tony Dungy was great.
Tony Dungy,
Marvin
amazing.
Lewis was
yes.
great.
And then here's, the, and, but here's, the, here's the thing. If you're going in as a minority to an interview for the Dallas Cowboys, for Jerry Jones, for example, Like you feel like you don't even belong. You feel like there. I mean, the whole thing is you don't want to be a token
I have to
interview
imagine,
for all
right.
of these situations. And that's exactly what it's turned into 17 years on after this rule was initiated.
I don't think that it's certainly helped in the hiring process for black coaches. I mean, it just hasn't. Now, I would imagine, and I'm not in that situation. I don't know what it's like to go to the interview. Whether it's, you know, you feel like you're that token or that quota or whatever we have to meet kind of thing, I would, if I was in that situation, I'd say at least I'm getting in the door. And it may be not the door or the way I want to get in the door, but I'm getting in the door. And I guarantee you, anyone who applies, regardless of their color, they're going to want to say, I believe in my abilities and give me the opportunity and I will succeed at this. And I believe that they all... they all feel that way. And I don't like when you force like people to, I have a better faith in people, and maybe it's naive, but I hate when you force people into a certain morality.
Right.
I think there's a tendency to maybe even be more resistant to it than maybe you would if it wasn't that case.
But this is predominantly a league where players of color are the stars of this, sure, of this football league.
Yeah.
And it has been for a long time.
And most of the people that watch it are white. And
right,
most of the people that own it are white. Most of the team people that coach it
so
are white.
There's this balance of people feeling like, okay, there are coaches of color in the NFL, and there have been historically. But the question has always been, are they, because you've heard the NFL be called before the Not for Blacks League, or you've
right,
all different types of things. The political uproar that was with the Colin Kaepernick stuff and all these things that have floated around. The NFL's image around this, I don't think, has improved, because everybody looks at the Rooney Rule and they go, no, that feels like you're forcing a narrative. And it feels like I would be offended if I was a minority being flown in for the interview, knowing that I didn't have a shot. Because all these guys that get flown in, look, they're Eric Bieniemy, I'll take him for example. This is right, a guy who's the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs right now. Probably will be one of the most sought after dudes. Like
right,
when it comes, and every time a season ends, people are like, "Hey man, what do you got going on? Like, how can we get you over here?"
All the positions are filled this year. There's no spot for
right
him this
year. And so you look at it, but after this season, everyone's going to be looking, and they're going to say, "Okay, in going forward, because next year the same thing will happen." People will be looking at Eric Bieniemy, and they'll say, "Offensive coordinator for the reigning Super Bowl champs, for Andy Reid, all these things that should go along with it. That's why you hire him, because he's a successful guy, right?"
Right.
And you'd feel like if he got called to an interview, it would be because he would probably be one of the first or second choices for anybody in that spot to get that job. But if you're him, you would think, oh, I know why you do this, because the criteria says you have to interview somebody like me, meaning somebody of color for this position. It's weird.
Here's the hard thing about coaching in the NFL, okay? If you want to talk about a good old boy network, it's as good an old boy network as there is that exists. It's not the owners per se.
It's incestuous.
They just get regurgitated over and over. And coaches will go, like one of my coaches, Bobby Ross, he had all of his coaches follow him around. And he had coaches of color and he had coaches that weren't. But they, because coaches are like, you know what my number one priority is? To make sure I have a job as long as I possibly can. The retirement for a coach in the NFL who's coached for 15 years is unbelievable.
Right.
Full
salary.
It's way different than it is than even for players.
Yeah.
It's really good. So I just want to coach long enough to get a pension.
And okay, let's.
So it's not about fair. It's not about right. It's not about equal. It's really about there's just this weird network of people that are even
okay,
potential coaching
in a league,
possibilities.
In a league where right now – the social image of your league is that you aren't giving a fair shake to people of color. At the same time, you get this very first, also in the history of the league.
I don't know how old I was. I hope someday I will be on a real football team. I'm Katie Sowers, offensive assistant coach for the San Francisco 49ers.
Whoa, whoa, hold it.
I'm not just here to be the token female. I'm here to help us win. The Surface Pro helps me get what's in my head and get it out onto the field.
There we go.
So it's a Microsoft commercial, but it's Katie Sowers, offensive assistant for the 49ers, and these commercials have been playing nonstop for a league that is right now. They want people to know, hey, we're going this direction. If Microsoft wants everybody to know, hey, we're socially aware and there's no injustice here, right? And I love that she's good enough to be a coach in the NFL. I wouldn't be good enough to be a coach in the NFL, right? I mean, I just don't have that pedigree. I don't have the background. Yeah, but it would take years of me to be able to do it. She's been working for the 49ers for a long time.
Yeah, but
she worked her way up.
Look, I'm just telling you. I don't want to minimize her situation at all. And this has nothing to do. I'm just saying there are a lot of people through the years. Bill Belichick. He started out and he knew nothing about football.
Right. This guy does not have a playing history.
No, yeah. No playing history, no nothing. And he got into the league and he was just, this is what I'm talking about, this whole network of people. And so he got in the league And he was just fortunate enough because he had a dad, he had the contacts, he had relationships. Kyle Shanahan is the son of another coach.
Right.
I mean, it's a very incestuous thing. And it's great what's happening here. What I don't like about this is I don't care. Like, I don't care what – if this woman –
We've never known who the offensive assistants are on the other team.
No, ever, anywhere. And so, right. To me, it's like I actually feel like the NFL and even the 49ers are exploiting a situation that I want to believe we're way past.
Probably for more social points than they probably deserve.
Right, social right. points. And like, I don't care if a coach – is male or female. I don't care their orientation, you know,
right.
sexually. I don't care about any of it. Can they coach? And can they not? And I don't know why we have to make a massive deal about all of these things.
But if you have a first time, but if you have somebody, this is some look. This is a boys' club. This is a men's dominated sport. Not just men's, but white men, as we were pointing out. And so for a woman to come in and be an assistant. Or to be an offensive assistant in the league, and this is not a coordinator or anything like that. Maybe one day she will kind of get to that level, but that's a big deal. That's you do have to prop it up when it's a first time for a league that has no background in doing anything close to this.
Yeah, but I think the NFL, I think our society has actually done a lot of this. I mean, I think that there are tremendous opportunities for people, regardless of their sex or race or whatever it is. And if I was in that situation, I just want to be known that I got this position because I deserved it, and it had nothing to do with my sex, my sexual orientation, my mm-hmm. race, any of it. And I think it diminishes this person's talent when I just feel like it's a bit of an exploitation.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to take a break. Mitch Harper, BYU insider here for KSLSports.com and also for Cougar Sports Saturday. He's going to join us to give you the insider look at the BYU depth chart per his view right now going into spring. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.